You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Go Wild. Go Wild is the fastest growing social media application for outdoor enthusiasts, and it's designed by outdoor enthusiasts. If you want more information, visit Google Play Store and download the app, or visit timetogowild.com. Let's get outside. It's time to go wild.
Another Land and Legacy Hunting Strategy Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Dye.
And I'm Adam Keith.
And we have got a cool story for you today. We'll jump on into it, but just a little backstory on this hunting strategy podcast. It is going to kind of open your eyes a little bit and provide perspective on new hunters. Interviewed a new client of Land and Legacy. And his story of how he got started hunting is incredible. And it's eye-opening, and it's encouraging, I think. And as we talk about it often, you know, we've lost hunters. We're going kind of a downward trend. This was hope, honestly, for me. As in, guys, there's people out there who have been in the outdoors, you know, their whole life and enjoying different types of recreation. But then they got introduced to something different and a different way to enjoy recreation. And now within a year, I'm not going to give it away. You know, he's got us on the property and he's just full bore into this. You know, I want to make this property incredible. I want to watch my son grow up on this property and learn. And we kind of throw it around the terminology.
You throwed it around?
We were in East Tennessee, so you can make up words. Yeah. We throated it around, and it was outdoor classroom. Like, that was what he wanted to create for his children. And I was like, that's cool. That's cool. He's working on that. He's doing it. And so there's that cold again coming back into it. Woo. So basically, this is his story of how he's evolved within a year's time frame. Of
how old was he when he got into deer hunting?
Last year.
How old?
You don't have to
call him out on it or anything, but
mid-30s.
Mid-30s, okay.
We'll say mid-30s.
Yeah. So a little later than a lot of us have gotten into it.
Yeah.
And if we want hunting to change the trends, if we're wanting to change the trends of hunting, we have to start getting guys of this age and older back into hunting or into hunting for the first time, because introducing kids is great. It's an absolute must. But a lot of times we should be focusing on trying to get people who are already successful business guys that have the means to where they could get into the hunting
careers. They've got a car, they got all this stuff that they can go and do it themselves.
But let's just speak here a little bit of truth and say, a lot of times if we're trying to get these people in, it's not going to be getting them by saying, hey, why don't you come kill a big buck with me? It's a way to bring the kids in, or a way that they could get their family involved in the outdoors as kind of a group activity, or a way to provide clean meat for the family. And not just go to the store. It's another expensive hobby with any real
return
on it.
Yeah,
so
return for his family. And that's the biggest thing for him, is that enjoyment, the ability to bring his family, his young son, into this lifestyle.
Awesome.
He's enjoyed it. It shaped him, and he wants to bring that into the fold for his son.
So awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear it.
Yep. All right, are you ready to start a podcast?
I guess.
I have a guest on here today that just really got thrown to the wolves. And we are at a property consultation, and I asked politely, and you just said, sure, I'll come on a podcast, and you know, just we'll see what we're going to make of it, and time will tell. But everyone's along for the ride. So
I'm a bit apprehensive.
this is a unique podcast. We haven't done this before. So what you're going to listen to is a quick kind of debrief of prior to being on site. We're in your cabin. The night before, basically, we step on the property and review the habitat. So what we want to do is just talk about kind of the history of the property itself and then where you're at mindset-wise of what you're expecting from a consultation and what you'd like your goals for the property. So it kind of gives all the listeners out there a chance to say, all right, these guys talk about being a consultant, but like what does that look like from a habitat consultant standpoint? Like, how do these things go? So basically that's what we're doing. This is pre-consultation, so we're going to talk about the history, your goals and objectives, and then, you know, what you're looking to get out of the property. So go ahead, introduce yourself, where we're at, and we'll just kick it off.
My name is John York. We're in Crossville, Tennessee. This is a 100-acre piece of property that my family bought when I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And for the first 4 years that we were down here, my dad and I kind of rehabbed it a bit. It was essentially very overgrown and hadn't been touched in years, and was previously a section of it, I want to say 15 to 20 acres, was open. Mm-hmm. And was planted in pines, and kind of then that was for some reason pushed aside into giant brush piles and then let to overgrow. So right. For the first couple of years, we just bush hogged it and burnt the brush piles, and I slept in the barn for probably 100 nights. This was, you know, it was a big part of my growing up and into maturity. Sure. And I wasn't much of a hunter then, but mm-hmm. Just loved being outdoors and loved coming down here. And we built this cabin that we're in now when I was about 18. Mm-hmm. And that's been a, you know, a big focal point for my family. And
absolutely.
So we all come down here and hang out.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
So you said a couple cool things that we want to touch on. We are in East Tennessee. So if someone's, you know, wondering where that's at, and this is the basically the eastern edge of the Cumberland Plateau. Right after I got off the interstate, I came from the east, from the Virginia side, working west, and you climb elevation pretty rapidly. Yeah. So this is a unique kind of transitional zone for the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
A lot of rich history in this area. And, you know, when it comes to habitat, we've talked about it basically pre-podcast of what this area would have looked like. And it's cool to see really small remnants of what it could be and what it has been from the vegetation standpoint, as we're looking, whether it's like a power line right away driving in. But we came in the dark. So truthfully, I don't know what we're looking at besides an aerial photo. So this is blind as a bat. I'm super excited to get boots on the ground on the property, walking it with you, and then seeing, you know, what the current state of the habitat is. What is here from a timber standpoint? What kind of vegetation is out there? What are your goals and objectives are? Really understanding that. And this podcast is super neat from, I guess, a listener standpoint, and the fact that you're relatively new to hunting as well.
That's correct.
But you've grown up on this property, so you've seen it change and evolve over time. So as we talk about true habitat management and how that correlates to hunting tomorrow, it'll be neat to see, you know, all the wheels start turning in what you've seen from a, you know, a hunting standpoint, an observation standpoint, learning this property even more and how deer and other wildlife species are utilizing it currently, but how we anticipate our habitat recommendations changing that to benefit you as a hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is your hunting history so far to date, and what has led you in that time frame though to say, I want to know more about the habitat and what our family's property can offer?
Well, I kind of grew up dove hunting and, uh-huh. and did some duck hunting out in West Tennessee, but not much in the way of deer hunting. Had tons of friends that did it.
Sure.
Just kind of, as I told you before, picked up a lot through osmosis, just being mm-hmm. in a rural community.
It's East Tennessee. Everyone's got a deer
exactly.
rifle and a truck, right?
Exactly. I had to leave Tennessee for my profession for a number of years and mm-hmm. finally made it back. And in the last year or two, I've picked up hunting again. Killed my first turkey this year and
awesome.
My first deer this year. Not Fantastic. On this property, but at a friend's property that has been managed well for he's watched it closely for 15 years, and so
that's awesome.
Seeing what he has done
sure.
And how incredible his land is mm-hmm. it gave me a bit of jealousy. I have a 1.5-year-old and so everything that I do is through the lens of thinking about what kind of life am I going to bring him up in, and
sure
what lessons am I going to teach him, and
that's
character
so cool.
that I'm going to give him. And so in doing so, it brought me back to a recollection of my own upbringing. And we live more in suburbia these days than I did when I grew up. And so I just really wanted to make sure that this property was a part of his upbringing, and
that's
that
so cool.
I could pass on lessons of the wildlife and the habitat and hunting and all of that culture that goes with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, talking pre-podcast recording, that to me, and I know Adam's the same way and you're the same way, we were blessed with the opportunity to grow up in that outdoor environment.
Yeah.
And I look back and say, wow, that was such a blessing, because not everyone had that. And for me, I it was so influential as to why we're sitting here today, honestly, and the lessons that were learned. And it's funny too, because not every lesson that I learned, I didn't realize it was a lesson until later on in life, when I started to really educate myself on whether it's a natural process of habitat or farming or these different techniques, whatever it was, I didn't realize I was learning as I was learning.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
properties that we had access to, in essence, were, as I look back now, an outdoor classroom.
Yeah.
And that's what they were, because we saw, whether that property was logged or it was farmed in this manner, or we hunted it. I saw changes and I saw things that impacted me growing up. And same thing for you. You have an outdoor lifestyle. But importantly, you see the value of this property impacting your kid's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to emulate that, as teach them lessons outside, not in front of a tablet screen or iPhone screen or video game, whatever. There's so much to learn in the natural world that you see that as an opportunity and want to make the most out of it.
Oh yeah, amen to that. I mean, it's just, there's a growing disconnection, I think, between today's youth and
mm-hmm.
the outside world, and that's something that I really wanted to be a part of my son's life.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely.
So I got to walk the walk.
No doubt. Because even though you're relatively new to hunting, you don't have to be a hunter though to enjoy this stuff. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it whether you were hiking or other outdoor activities growing up, and like I said, just sleeping outside in the barn.
Yeah.
That was just fun. That was just cool. It was just something you did. And I'm sure there was, fires, campfires and stories that you can recall from growing up. But it's
Absolutely.
Just, you have to be immersed in it and have that opportunity. And that's why, of course, it's always important to bring new people outside and allow them to have those experiences. And that's, in essence, what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
And what tomorrow's going to bring. Hopefully, we're going to be able to share some education. Again, what's out there, the direction it needs to go, techniques to be able to use. But you're then simply going to translate that into something that's going to impact your son's life and bring him up
yep.
in it. So ultimately,
super cool.
What is it that you want to get out of a consultation tomorrow? Like, what is it you're looking for? You know, maybe even if you're willing or want to state your goals for the, excuse me, for the property. Again, what is it that you're looking for ultimately in a consultation?
I first and foremost, I think I'm looking for your knowledge as mm-hmm. much as I can glean from it. I anticipate I'm just going to pepper you with questions
good
day tomorrow. But my dream setup for what I'd like for this property to be is it's primarily a recreational property. We don't have cattle. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day if we ever expanded the land, we would consider that. But that's,
sure.
We don't live here, so cattle would be kind of a challenge for us. Mm-hmm. What I want more than anything else is to have a place where wildlife flourish, where the opportunities to view those or harvest mm-hmm. those are there. Would like to impact the habitat to the point that the deer and turkey primarily are flourishing.
Right.
And as a hunter and as a professional with a busy life and a young son, my opportunities to hunt are not incredibly numerous.
Sure.
Some guys kind of have that luxury of
the freedom.
Heading out every afternoon and every weekend. And
yeah.
That's not me.
Sure.
But I would like to engineer this if I can to mm-hmm. a point where I can set aside, 4 weekends a year and or maybe an extended weekend here or there that I can come down and have a solid idea of their travel patterns, and because I have designed them that way,
sure,
and increase my chances of an encounter or viewing and potentially harvesting a doe or a buck.
Absolutely.
The CWD just hit Tennessee, West Tennessee,
yep.
I'm very conscious of having a healthy population,
mm-hmm.
Not something that's overly numerous.
And, sure.
I want to do my part if I can to try to have a healthy herd that can resist the spread of that disease if we can.
Mm-hmm.
But
cool. And one of the things that you said there that I think that's important for other people too to take in is almost the efficiency of a property, and no matter where we go, wherever a property is, something is limiting there, whether it's a resource, but typically the common denominator is time to be able to either put into the habitat manipulation or the time to enjoy that hard work from a hunting standpoint. So that's always a limiting factor. So when you do come out and you do have the time to hunt, you want it to be successful. And that's where having a plan, a setup, like I said, engineered property, if you will, that totally takes in all the property features from a terrain aspect, from the general deer movement, enhances that with specific habitat features and manipulations that when you do come out and you've got, you're throwing, let's say, a curveball and you've got a southeast wind, you still have the property set up that you can be effective that afternoon and harvest a deer, or have at least a good chance of harvesting a deer. Because you never know what Mother Nature's going to throw at you. You never know the time that you have off. You can make plans and this and that, but that's always subject to change.
Yeah.
But knowing or having the peace of mind of saying, no matter what, if it's a Tuesday afternoon or if it's a Saturday morning, I have the ability to go to the property, hunt that northwest wind or hunt that south wind, and feel pretty confident that I'm going to see something or have an opportunity to harvest it.
Exactly. You hear those guys say that they that there's I don't know what it is, like a lot of people quote that 70% of their harvest come from first time sits and stands, and,
right?
Or at least a lot of those big mm-hmm. big name guys will quote something like that. And so.
Sure.
Assuming that that's true, if you can set up 4 or 5 good stands that that you have designed for specific winds and take advantage of those over mm-hmm. 4 or 5 occasions, then that's without over pressuring or bumping the deer on the neighbor's property. And you know, this is, like you said, you've got, this is East Tennessee, and so everybody hunts, and so if right. if I just butcher my access, I know I'm going to run them all off. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think efficiency from a hunting standpoint is probably priority number one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and that's perfect, because that there's a marriage between the habitat manipulation and that hunting strategy when it comes to that, to a property and developing it. Of course, we're going to set, whether it is objectives or goals, year one of, okay, you do these things, you do X 1 through 10, and set it out basically on a calendar and say, try to accomplish this springtime. This is where, you know, efficiency again is going to be the best, but come September, you can set back, or really now it's August in Tennessee. There's a 3-day velvet season. I forgot about that. So come late August, you can sit back and say, okay, I've done a lot of work. I've got it set up better now, that efficiency is going to come through. And that's the other cool thing, is it's not going to happen year one. And you already have the mindset and knowledge base that it's not going to happen, you know, between now and August. It's going to happen over, you know, years of developing it and managing the resource. But that's where you get to share that experience with your son.
Yeah, totally.
And bring him into that fold.
Exactly. I want to get it to prime time by the time he enters the hunting community.
Absolutely. Well, fantastic. This is, again, the evening before, so we're going to hit it tomorrow, and we'll come back and do another 15-20 minute kind of update on what it was, maybe share some information that you gleaned off the property that you didn't know, or maybe a resource you hadn't looked at before that's specific to the property. Whatever it is, whatever you want to share, we'll just come back and hit that in a follow-up podcast.
Sounds great.
All right, appreciate it. Man, John shared some awesome points. I love hearing that story. And I know that there's a lot of other people out there as well who are in that same boat. You know, I want to get into that outdoor lifestyle. I want to hunt. I want to do this. And they're a little older in age, but don't let that stop you. Don't let, you know, access stop you. Find a hunter. Hopefully we're all out there with the same mindset of, you know, connect with that hunter that you know in your life and get out there, be a part of it.
Yeah.
We ought to be all welcoming people like John into the fold, say, hey, I want to recruit you into hunting. Because now, not only is John going to be a hunter, but his son's going to be a hunter. Not only is John going to be a land manager and improve the health of his family's property, his son's going to learn how to do that too.
Yeah, that's for important. Sure. Absolutely. It's probably more important on – that's more important than whether or not you're killing the biggest buck out of your buddies.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Which is something that gets portrayed as being the most important in
yes.
this day and age. So make sure you're doing it for the right reasons if you really want to have a lasting effect.
Yep.
So well, anyway, I
appreciate you guys
listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll catch you next week.
See ya.